Coming up, we will dissect the four phrases people say on their deathbed and what we can learn from them. And then half of Dell's U.S. workforce has rejected the return to office threat. I'm here to help you win at work, because if you're winning at work, I can tell you this, your life is getting better. So let's dive in, and we're going to get above work a little bit today. We're going to talk about reminiscing versus regretting. And this is some really, really deep stuff today. This may be one of the deepest segments we've ever done on this show. And it comes from the learnings of an oncologist. I can't say this person's name, so I'm not going to try. But this oncologist is a Pulitzer Prize winning author as well. And recently gave a commencement speech at the University of Pennsylvania. And this is what he essentially said. Every person that I've met in this moment of transition, he's talking about his patients that are dying of cancer. Their time is almost up. They've treated them. They've done everything they can. And the cancer is about to take their life. And so you can imagine he has some tremendously intimate and powerful moments as he has tried to save the lives of these people or extend their life. And so this is powerful stuff. Here are the four phrases. I want to tell you that I love you. I want to tell you that I forgive you. Would you tell me that you love me? Would you give me your forgiveness? Now, these are what he's calling four themes. So however it's being worded, it is someone who is staring eternity in the face and they're looking at people and they're saying, I love you. These are people who don't have much time left on this earth and they're looking at their loved ones and they're saying, I forgive you. These are people who don't know if they'll make it to the end of the day saying, do you love me? And these are people who their entire life is flashing before their eyes. Like that. And they're saying, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Wow. So he goes on to say, and he wrote about this in his award-winning, the Pulitzer Prize-winning nonfiction book, The Emperor of All Maladies, A Biography of Cancer. And in his commencement speech at the University of Pennsylvania, he says to these young people that the reason those four themes and those phrases are being uttered by people who are at the end of their life is because they waited until it was too late to show appreciation, love. They waited too late to right their wrongs. That's powerful stuff, folks. I don't know that it gets any more sobering for all of us today. And I don't want to repeat that to make sure you get that. These are his words. The oncologist is saying, the reason those four phrases or those four themes are so prevalent and dominant in that final phase of life is because, listen to this, folks, and as I share this again, I want you to just let this sit on you and say, as you sit here today, you may be physically healthy, but you don't know if you make it till tomorrow. Here are the two reasons why those themes are coming up. They waited too long to show, express love, and to right their wrongs. What did they do instead? They harbored grudges lived with unresolved guilt, spent years guarding, protecting, hiding vulnerability. According to Kim Penberthy, a neurobehavioral scientist, remorse, stress, poor mental health, hormonal and immune imbalances all come from the harbored grudges, the unresolved guilt, and the lack of vulnerability. In other words, there are real physical maladies, struggles, pains that come from a sick heart. Can I just tell you that's what it is? And I'm not talking about your actual physical heart. I'm talking about your emotional heart. A sick, an unhealthy heart harbors grudges, lives with unresolved guilt, is afraid to be vulnerable, and it has absolute physical consequences that are very negative. So, what do we do? What do we do? Maybe we should own our stuff. Maybe we should just take some responsibility and go, you know what? I'll be honest with you. You are a real turd. And it made me triggered. And I said this, and I did that, and I got to tell you something, I'm wrong. Maybe, and by the way, I think that's our default response. Maybe that phrase should be like this. You forget the turd part. Maybe we don't even talk to them about what they did to us. We just own what we did to them. Maybe we just go, you know what? I said this and it's hung on you for decades. And I want to tell you that when I said it, I was afraid. When I said it, I was angry. When I said it, I was hurt and I was wrong. Today, why do we need to wait? Here's something else we can do. Besides owning it, owning what we did wrong, our contribution to the unhealthy relationship, why don't we get in touch with our feelings? That can be made fun of sometimes. That's not some, you know, Stuart Smalley character on Saturday Night Live when played so beautifully where he would look at the mirror and say, I'm Stuart Smalley and I'm special. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about saying, I'm deeply wounded and I'm carrying around some stuff that makes me really, really this or really, really that. And in taking responsibility for our actions, how about we apologize as well? With good old-fashioned apology. I was wrong. I am deeply sorry. Will you forgive me? I think the act of apologizing is not just owning it. It's also asking for forgiveness. Saying, I was wrong. I need you to forgive me. I just think if we do these things, we're not going to get to the end and go, hey, I feel like I got to make a big speech about the fact that I love you. Now, I think in healthy relationships, and if everybody's gathered around in this scenario here where you're on your deathbed in the hospital room, you're still telling everybody you love them, even if you've told them 100 times. And I've told my kids and my wife 80 million times, and I got 80 million more to go. I'm still going to say it at the end. But we're talking about people who haven't said it. And in this moment, they're going, hey, I need to make things right. I love you. I forgive you. I'm going to let go. Here in my final days and hours, I'm finally going to let go of the crap that I've been holding over you. Ugh. So, I share this challenge. Learn from these people. Say it now. Fix it now. And if you do, you will get to the end of your journey and you will not be overcome with regret in your final days of pain. You'll be overcome with joy as you move into the next chapter. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, I'm always talking about getting better. I'm trying to always get better because when I get better as a person, I become a better version of a professional. And that means I'm winning in my work, which allows me to win in every area of my life. And so part of getting better is realizing where you need to get better. And when you realize those areas, don't try to do it alone. I think the lesson here is you need someone constantly helping you see the true you, where you are and where you want to be and how you can get there. And I think it's through therapy. Contact BetterHelp. Therapy, by the way, isn't just for people who have experienced major trauma. It's just tuning up many times, learning how to use positive coping skills, how to be the best version of yourself when you're squeezed through the unexpected moments of life, peace in the chaos. And BetterHelp is an online therapy resource. It's flexible to fit your busy schedule. All you have to do is fill out a short questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no extra cost. You'll find your person there. So never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Ken today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Ken. Hey, if you're enjoying the show, will you help me? And the way you can help me is by spreading the word. You're the greatest marketing strategy the world has ever known. And you can spread the word if you are listening on podcasts by giving us a 5-star review and a follow and a share. If you're watching on YouTube, like a video that you're watching and subscribe to the channel and share that video with just one click. Also, if you are not confident in where you are right now, I'm telling you the one thing you need more than anything else is self-awareness. We've got the self-awareness tool for you. It is the Get Clear assessment. Find the work you're wired to do. You've got an assessment and a guidebook. Assessment takes about 20 minutes. The book itself, maybe 45 minutes. Don't read the book until you've taken the assessment. What does the assessment do? It gives you self-awareness in three areas, your three wires: what you're good at, what you enjoy doing, and results that motivate you. So you can figure out, oh, I know who I am supposed to be in the world of work. That means I'm going to be good at it and I'm going to get paid well for it. All right. So you can get that at kencoleman.com. Okay. A quick update on a story that we shared not long ago. And this was February when this news came out. Dell, which amazingly, Dell is still around. Every time I see Dell in the news, I go, they're still around? I don't know why. I'm not trying to disrespect them, but I feel like Dell is Tab, the soda from the 80s. I don't think Tab's around. Kelly, you don't even know what Tab is. Gosh, I got to get you all a case of Tab. This is the worst soda ever made. Just terrible. Terrible. I'm trying to think of other brands that came out. The Yugo, remember that car? The Tab soda, Yugo, I think with the Yugo car.
Surge.
Yeah. But AOL. Yeah. I think of Dell and AOL as the same company for some strange reason in my garbled up mind. Anyway, Dell is still here and they're trying really hard. And let me give you a quick update on what that initial story was. So Dell, like a lot of big companies, were wanting people to return to the office. And it's important to point out that most people that have been remote, when they say return to the office, this is now defined as a few days a week. And so Dell in February came out with a policy saying, we want you back in the office. And they thought they were really smart. I can see the Dell executives leaning back in their chair like this.
Fine.
For those of you that are listening, I sat back in my chair with enormous pride and shook my head slowly because I had just come up with a brilliant idea. I just picture the Dell people just being so full of themselves, the executives. We'll show you. And here's what they came up with. This, folks, is so unbelievably stupid that it gives me great joy to share what actually happened. This is what they came up with. Brilliant. By the way, at the time, Alex, the producer, brought me the story. I criticized it then as manipulation, downright evil. I came out very strong on this. And I remember, I wish we could pull the clip, but I think I said, this is going to backfire. I think I said it. I'm not sure. I'm going to act like I said it today because I can't remember. Here we go. Here's what they said. If you don't return to the office, if you choose to stay remote and you don't return to the office, and that's a hybrid role where you would come into the office 39 days a quarter, roughly 3 days a week, and we're going to monitor you using a color-coded system. I wonder if they put that in a Trapper Keeper. Remember that? With the Velcro, coolest thing ever, greatest notebook of all time. In fact, I would love to have a Trapper Keeper right now with my notes and a glass of Tab. That would make me so 80s, it would just be glorious. Anyway, I digress. So that was the policy. And then they said, the genius is at Dell. If you choose to stay remote and you don't come in 39 days a quarter, you won't be eligible for a promotion. Like they were so excited with that one, right? Hey, if you don't come in, you will no longer be eligible for a promotion. How about that? I believe that's checkmate. You ever played chess? I know Nathan loves to play chess. Nathan, I know you've done this. At least I have. You thought you had, you literally said checkmate and your opponent went, no, there's actually one move here. You ever done that? Honestly? Okay, you have. He says yes. All right. That's what this is. Nathan, Dell went like this. They moved that piece and they went, checkmate. And what did the workers say? Here we go. Close to 50% of Dell remote full-time workers have opted to stay remote. They basically went, I can actually move my pawn. I think I'll put the pawn in front of the king. So we go from to I just moved my pawn, you dolt. And that's what they did. Now, let's get into the details. Couple comments. This is a Business Insider article, and they actually talked to 11 Dell employees. So let's get the real here. Like, why did this backfire? Okay. One comment, my team spread out around the world. Almost 90% of the team did the same as there was no real advantage to going to the office. In other words, it actually was a disadvantage. In what way? Financial benefits. People were going to have to spend more money to actually commute. One employee said, I benefited a lot from work from home because I had a lot of personal growth. I made better changes in my life. I'm not willing to give that up if I don't have to. Alex, this is absolutely one of the great quotes to back up what I've been saying for a long time. I have said on the show many times that people do not want a better job. They want a better life. I've said that before, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. You got a person here going, I will pass up future promotion at Dell because my life has gotten better as a result of working remote. So leaders, this is not an endorsement of remote working, but what I'm saying is employees don't want a better job. They want a better life. That's what they want. And over 50% of Dell workers went, no thanks. I'm going to choose the better life. Thank you very much. Take your promotion and shove it. You know?
Take this job and shove it.
Johnny Paycheck right there. Okay, I mean, that's what they said in droves. They were like, I see your bluff. By the way, I'm playing poker tomorrow night with my favorite group of poker players, my guys. inevitably, and it usually is about 3 hours in when the bourbon's been flowing, Nathan, someone's going to bluff. Someone's going to go all in and push their chips, and then the rest of us are going to go. I think he's full of it. And someone will call. And the Dell employee said, call. And the Dell executives that I illustrated earlier on, when they were sitting back all happy, their face goes from prideful pleasure to uptight pain. Like the guy who bluffs all in when somebody calls him, oh man, he couldn't sit on a needle, if you know what I mean. Think about that one for a second. That's tight. Wow. No way. Are you serious? I just went all in and you called my bluff. So now what does Dell do? We shall see. But they just dangled out this giant threat and everybody yawned. It's like walking up to a lion with a gun and the lion just kind of looks at you and yawns and licks his chops. You know, he's not afraid of you. Couple more quick comments on this because this is really enlightening. Working from home gave me more time to spend with family, exploring hobbies, meeting friends. With the salary that I'm receiving, a return to office would leave a huge hole in our budget. Listen, at Ramsey Solutions, we teach people through the every dollar budget. And when you are budgeting every dollar and all of a sudden it costs over $100 or $300 or whatever from a gas, $500, I don't know. These people, they got to return to the office. It's going to cost them more money. So they said, I'll tell you what, I like my job. I like my paycheck. I figured out how to budget. I don't want to increase my expenses. Can't afford to. Dell didn't think about that. Here's one. Dell closed down the facility in 2020 that I worked at, so I have no office to return to. The geniuses at Dell. And think they're going to, people are choosing to sell their house and move to an office that you still have open, but you close the office near them. It's just nonsensical, folks. So here's my point on updating this. This is a leadership lesson. Don't choose a principle over people. When you choose a principle over people, it backfires every time. Your principles always need to be rooted in people. So maybe do your homework. Maybe talk to the rank and file folks and go, hey, if we were to institute a policy like this, which way would you choose? Maybe you could have tested this idea before you went public with it and you thought it was a grand all-in gesture, and now you've been embarrassed. And this hurts trust. And trust is the currency for great organizations. Dell, you screwed up. I could have helped you. I can still help you. I doubt the phone's going to ring. I'd probably have to sign on to AOL to talk to somebody over there. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. I'm here to help you get better so your paycheck will get bigger. Let's get to a coaching session right now. Jordan joins us in Huntsville, Alabama. Jordan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. How can I help today?
Hey, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
I'm working. Another day in paradise. The daily grind.
I love it. I've never heard anybody, and I mean anybody, refer to Huntsville as paradise, but I love your attitude.
Yeah, it's hot right now, but it's getting hotter.
Well, I'm not much north of you, brother. We're pumping the sunlight in here today in Nashville, too. Whew.
Yeah, definitely so.
What's happening?
I wanted to talk to you about burnout, and I wanted to talk about what it is, how you can avoid it, and I want to know if burnout, if you keep grinding through that, what it can lead to, mm-hmm. and that is kind of the nature of the call.
Yeah.
And I want to know your thoughts.
Yeah, I love this question. We have to first start with what's the source of the burnout. There's physical burnout, there's mental burnout, and there's emotional burnout. I really think, and then by the way, whether you start out as a physical burnout, that will eventually affect you mentally and emotionally. So they all build on each other, but I do think it's important to get to the source of it. And then we can actually diagnose and say, okay, what's our plan of action? So what would you say is the source? Is it physical, mental, or emotional initially?
I'd say physical if I had to put my finger on it. And then would you say a mental burnout would be going toward like depression type of state?
Sure. Sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I'll marry those three into your situation here. We'll tie them in. What is the job? What's the physical burnout? Where does it start? How does it start? What does it look like?
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm a sole entrepreneur. I am the one and only in this company, me, myself, and I, three best people I can find.
Right.
And so there's a lot of work that goes into it. I'm in the green industry, you can imagine. So if I'm the only guy, I wear every hat in the company, and whether it be from marketing to generating revenue to accounting, everything all the way down to a profit and loss statement. I am the guy. I do everything.
What do you guys, it's hilarious. What are you and your multiple personalities? What service do you provide?
Well, I'm a weed control and fertilizer applicator. I do soil amendments to lawns. Six issues like that.
So you're going around. So you're going around spraying people's lawns.
I am. That's me.
Okay. How many clients do you have?
Oh, I have upwards of 500.
Wow. How many hours a week are you putting in?
Yeah, depends on the time of the year. If we're in marketing season, sometimes I wake up at 2:40 in the morning at the earliest. That's just one instance this year.
Did you say marketing season?
Oh, yes. In the selling season, it's where it gets pretty hairy. And
What is marketing season? What does that mean?
In any business, you know, you got a season where marketing, you market heavy because that's when most of your clients come in.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
Marketing season for us would be in the green industry, and this business would be February to about April, May. That's where you're pounding mailboxes with marketing, and you're getting lots of calls, and you're fielding lots of calls, and lots of sales, lots of work.
What's your retention rate on those 500 customers?
It's pretty high. I'm very high.
So, how much did you pay yourself last year?
Oh, last year, that's a good question. I couldn't put a finger on that to be straight with you, but this year. It'd be $50,000 since my wife doesn't work anymore. She'd stay at home with the kids. So I had to actually narrow it down. Okay, you got to pay yourself this to make ends meet in the household. So $50,000 would be the number.
And you feel confident based on your client base that you're going to be able to pay yourself $50,000?
Oh, easy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Easy. Does that mean we got some savings or we're saving as well? You're paying yourself $50,000, but you're putting some money away in retained earnings?
Correct. Correct. Yes, sir.
What's your gross revenue projection for this year?
This year, the goal gross revenue, I was trying to push $300,000, and that was the benchmark I wanted to hit.
How much will you? Okay, and so let's say you hit that, and you feel like you're on track for that. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, how much will you save out of that?
Save. What's your definition of save?
Retained earnings, meaning you paid all your expenses, and you
profits.
You paid yourself. You paid all of your other bills, equipment, everything, and then you're putting money away that's just sitting there in the savings account of the company, whether you have one or not. But you understand what I'm saying? How much will you save? We call it retained earnings when we talk about a business.
It'd probably be about 15-20% is what the P&L is showing up now.
All right, so let's go low, 15% of 300,000, right? So it's about 45,000. Am I getting that right?
You hit it on the head.
Okay. So this is actually a combination of physical and mental but it's a lot physical because you're spraying, you're doing your own accounting, you're doing marketing, you're out slapping flyers all over the place. I mean, it's just nonstop. And so I agree this is physical first, mental second. And then that starts to have a big emotional effect on you because it's like, this is so freaking hard. It's at some point your brain and your heart are going, can we just enjoy life a little bit? I'm working so hard. Is that what's going on?
Well, it depends on, okay, that was the thing. I've gone through cycles throughout the years And I don't know what the trigger is, but I start hitting a wall. I don't know if it's the heat in the summer or what, but I can grind, not a problem. And from January to I'm hitting that spot right about now. And it's been like this in the years past.
What does it do
and
to
I'm,
you?
Okay. It feels like my feet are in mud. I don't want to get up in the mornings.
Right.
I don't use alarm clocks in the morning. I just wake up, I'm rolling. Usually.
Uh-huh.
And this time of the year, I got to set an alarm, and I still don't want to wake up.
Okay. And so what do you think is going on? I think I know what's going on, but you know that, it better that, than... What's going on? Why this time of year?
I'd say that's physical exhaustion and being overworked.
100%. Your brain is actually telling your body, stay in bed, man.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the reason your brain is telling your body that... It's because your body's telling your brain first. We are fried. So I think this is a pretty simple fix.
Mm-hmm.
You have got to start moving stuff off your plate. We don't have to do it all at once, but you are at a point now as a solopreneur where I believe you can afford to start taking stuff off your plate. So let's do this really fast. What is one thing that you do not enjoy doing, but you have to do, that if I could give you a reasonable offloading option, you would get rid of it today? Give me one example.
Well, it'd be the main part of the business is driving in the truck every day, because that's probably the most taxing part of this business.
Okay, so that would be the piece. Revenue. So if I gave you somebody that was trustworthy, that would drive the truck, show up and spray the yard, and you knew it was going to get done, you would offload that immediately.
I would do it immediately.
Okay. That doesn't take a master's degree. Person.
Yeah, you're right.
That takes a person who's got some good character, who will literally show up and do the job. And it also takes a person who probably would look at what you would pay them and go, this is a good gig. Am I right?
Correct, yes, sir.
What could you afford to pay somebody per hour? Because that's an hourly wage, I'm guessing, right?
It would be, yes, sir.
All right, what would you pay somebody right now to do that?
I'd pay them what I make.
Which is?
$50K a year.
Okay. So we're close to being able to do that, aren't we?
We are. Mm-hmm.
All right, and if they were doing that, what would that free you up to do to bring in more business? You feel me?
It's sales, sales, and sales.
My friend, what if we took off the physical labor for this season and you were paying that person 50 and maybe you could pick up 25% more customers, but you're doing only 3 days a week or 2 days a week. And you've just added some more revenue in to be able to pay yourself the same amount of money, but pay them too. Now, all of a sudden, my point is, this business is ready to expand, but you've got to offload something. I'd also go get a bookkeeper. I really would. And I think if you could offload some of the back end office stuff too, man, all you have to do now is relationship. You said you have a high retention rate of your 500 plus clients. Your issue is not adding more business right now. Your issue is delegation, so that when you add some business, it's just pure gravy. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
I think you hiring somebody to do the main job and you are still the customer guy, when there's a complaint, when there's a thing like that, they go, oh, Jordan's my guy. I don't care that he's got Fred showing up spraying the lawn. I just want to know that my lawn's being taken care of and Jordan's my guy.
Right.
And I think you could double your revenues.
Easily. Yes, sir.
I think you're making $100,000 this time next year.
Can I flip the script?
Very quickly.
Is it too much? Am I being too content if you wanted to do this business solo and back off? Okay. It's great to scale. Right. I mean, I used to run 5 guys in this business and I cut it back to simplify the business.
Oh, okay.
Is
so you've done this before.
I have in the past. I used to run 3 or 4 trucks, but no, we did multiple services.
It's not bad to be content. It's not bad to be content, but you can't keep doing what you're doing.
Correct. I have to make major shifts somewhere.
So if it's hiring just one person and keeping it small, if that's what you'd rather do, yeah, fine.
It's simple. It's not as complex when you start.
Yeah, so this is all new information. I wish I'd have known that earlier, but the fact you've done five trucks before and it was too much, then what's the happy medium between you doing it all and having too many trucks? There's your answer. Right. Oh my gosh.
Right.
You know exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bro. Right. Pull back a little bit.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, you know exactly how to do it. Yeah, set yourself free, man. Content is a wonderful thing. Content's a wonderful thing. Change your lifestyle. Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate the call. This is a rock star right there, folks. He's figured it out. Change your life.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.